You couldn't leave me, could you?
Won't Your Parent Take Over on FUBAR Radio. That was the wonderful Irene Krall. Before that, we had Cupcake, absolutely ripping us a new one. And Cash Carraway is in the studio. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming in. We're here to discuss, well, amongst other things, your wonderful book, Skin to State, which I just bought with my own money and read, and it's wonderful. Congratulations on it.
Thank you. You've actually read the whole thing?
I've actually, if I'm honest, I'm about 80% of the way through because it only arrived on Saturday. So I've been nailing it, but I haven't quite finished it. So I can't give any concrete spoilers, which is good.
Good.
But yeah, it's wonderful. It's seething and scathing and has a real cast of monsters in it.
Yeah, it's quite angry. I was in a very dark place when I wrote it. Mm. So I think I wrote it within like 3 months. So
wow, really? Wow.
Yeah, November last year to February this year.
Bloody hell.
In like a rage.
Wow. Sure.
Just like the nights are drawing in, I'm angry. That's
yeah. I don't know how I managed to do it, actually. I nearly lost my mind a few times.
Bloody hell, I've never written a book, but like I do know that like when you start to create something and like it sort of happens without you and then you get to the end, it's like forgetting where you're going when you're driving. It's like, oh, did I do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I like really procrastinate. So I got the deal.
Oh, like, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the idea of doing the work is actually horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, you mean I've got to do something and then people will judge me for that. Right.
That's the worst thing, isn't it? It's like, it's really exciting getting like a creative project and getting paid to do it. And then suddenly it's like, shit.
Oh, yeah, I've got to do it. I've got expectations and the deadline's approaching.
Deadlines, and also people are actually going to know what's going on inside my mind and judge me.
Of course, well, that's the thing with them. I mean, obviously, when you make music, it's a little bit removed from that. But I mean, I'm really resisting the urge to ask like how much like quote unquote real it is. But like, it certainly feels like a very personal work, and there is a lot of rage in it, a lot of anger, and a lot of quite self-examinatory stuff, and also a lot about this country and how it operates as well. It's a real it's very kind of Kafkaesque in the kind of like the way Britain is today, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Yeah, I think it kind of follows the tradition of like Bukowski and Miller, kind of like going really internal. It is political, but it's a really, really internalised political book. So it's about kind of how policy affects the individual rather than how it affects society, but in turn affecting society.
Of course,
because society is made up of individuals. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I think you do that brilliantly in terms of how it. Because there is a real personal voice to it, and a real kind of like showing how small someone feels when trapped up in this huge machine that appears to want to kill them.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It feels like it's the story about telling a story that no one will let you tell.
Yeah, I think you make reference to that. That like I shouldn't be saying this. I don't feel I have the right to say this, which is it's something I've sort of encountered a lot. It's a very kind of like working class position, because I think if you come from a background that is kind of like educated by accident, then you kind of just feel, oh, I'm just going to do this today. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There is a sense in which like there's a naturalness to it, and
I agree with that. And I think from the outside, there's a lot of suspicion around working class people who create that kind of work, because we're kind of told that working class people are stupid. And
yes, we are.
We don't know our own voices. Yeah. We can't really speak for ourselves. Mm. So when you do speak for yourself, you're ultimately kind of put under suspicion, and people don't really believe that what you're saying is true. Like when you said how much is real, it's like it's a completely real story. Of course, I use artistic license.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
because I'm an artist, but. Again, that's a thing that that people don't like working class people to do.
I think in what I'm doing, I feel like I'm not doing the narrative. I'm like kind of like it's kind of a working class male thing, quote unquote, but it's not quite what people are expecting to hear, maybe. And I think like I mean, it's a lot more kind of like in the ether than your voice is, for example. But I think there is a lot of, you really don't pull any punches. Like, there are bits. I mean, I just think it's very funny in places. I mean, like, you straight away, you're like in the prologue, you're like nailing deliciously Ella, which like made me spit my coffee all over the place. It's like, oh, thank God, somebody's paying attention to this shit, you know. But that, and from the, and then you have the kind of, you know, the. I'd really try not to give spoilers, but like the guy, you know, the pervert.
I mean, there's no narrative, so don't worry. it's just a throw in of rage.
But it's great because it does feel like you do come away feeling a bit like, for want of a better phrase, like spittle flecked. There is a sense of like, oh my God, I wasn't quite ready to hear that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And there is a rawness to it, which I was expecting more poise, more elevation. It's more just like, no, listen here.
No, it's,
you know,
really
what I mean?
Unsophisticated, actually. It's it's kind of like saying, I don't want to be an intellectual.
Mm. I think that's a really important point as well, because there's more than one way to write a book, right? You don't have to join you talk about the kind of like lovely ladies of Maida Vale, and like, you don't have to join that set in order to do what they do, or to have, I guess you can, and doing what they do does not equal having what they have, and maybe it never will, you know.
It's very much a book about being an outsider and wanting to fit in, and then realizing that you're probably never going to be able to, because people don't
completely agree with that. It's that thing, I think, when I first got into music and wanted to be around musicians, especially when I moved down to London, I was like, I want to be down there because that's where all the people like me are.
Yeah.
And then you get down, then you're like, oh no, I don't fit in here either. So I guess I'm just going to be me on my own and do the thing.
Most
of
the bands that are kind of up and coming these days generally tend to have been to public school.
I think that's important to say, And while great music can come from public school, you can make great things from any background.
Yeah.
You would expect this to be more a broader spectrum, considering how few people really go to private school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, all my favourite bands have always come from working class backgrounds. Manic Street Preachers, Suede. I don't think I've ever loved a band who went to private school. They all sound like Coldplay, don't they?
There is a lack of edge. I mean, I think I'm generalising, but it's a fair generalisation. I mean, if anyone wants to call in and fight me, that's fine. But I feel like there is something to that. You know,
I think when you're not fighting against something, and that's not to say that people who've been to public school can't be fighting against something, because you can always be fighting against the internal. But when it comes to music, if you've had to, or writing a book or making art, if you're constantly having to fight, when you get there, it just becomes so much more beautiful, I think.
I agree. I think there's something to be gained in the fight. I mean, there's something, I guess something gets lost to you personally, but you kind of gain a perspective. I mean, I don't put words in your mouth, but like, there is something to that, right?
I definitely lost a part of myself writing that book, because my life is really different now as well. Like, when I was writing it, I was living in like abject poverty. I was isolated. I was living outside of London because I'd been like cleansed from the city. And, you know, now it feels weird talking about that time, because I'm in a different place now, but that place that I wrote about is still a place that lots of people are living in.
And I don't want to say you're a successful writer now, I mean, but I think if you are from a kind of like regular background, like, the cushioning isn't there. You're only as good as your next thing rather than your last thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's really scary, actually.
In my work, I think I'm only ever a paycheck from the bin, you know, and that's a shock. That is a shock. I think after, like, you would have thought, I think my whole time as a musician was spent kind of like throwing money into other people's skiing holidays. Do you know what I mean? Like paying private rents, you know, constantly being in debt, constantly kind of working off stuff. So like, it's not the 90s anymore for musicians, I'm sure. In case anyone was wondering, no one's driving any BMWs.
Saving publishing as well.
Absolutely. It's not, you having a best-selling novel doesn't equal fame, let alone having just a novel that sells some.
My memoir isn't a novel.
Of course, it's a memoir. Yeah, of course it is. It's a very personal story.
Isn't a bestseller.
No,
unfortunately,
it should be. Well, hopefully, this show can do something to address that. It's called Skin to State. It's by Cash Carraway, sat in front of me. It's really good. It's full of things you probably don't want to hear but should hear. And
it's kind of sexy as well, isn't it? It's a sexy book.
I think it's sexy. There's a lot of very kind of like, very sort of strident female sexuality in it. There's a lot of very strident anger, and there's a lot of humour as well. I think it's funny. I mean, it's a very bleak humour, But I think I do think it's funny. He had me spitting out my coffee on several occasions.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So, Cash Carraway, thank you very much
for
coming in the studio.
Me.
My absolute pleasure. So we're going to play some Suicide for you.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio, we're back. How are we doing, Josh?
We're all right, yeah.
Yeah, we're feeling good, feeling good.
I'm feeling very rosy-cheeked.
Feeling very rosy-cheeked. It's kind of like hot and cold in here. We've got a kind of...
It was that coffee, I think. Kerosene.
We're all a bit over-caffeined. So, I think we're going to play... I think we're just waiting on Matt Tong from Algiers, I believe. We're going to... we're still waiting on Matt Tong from Algiers, so I'm going to play you some more music. Oh, he's sorry, Matt, forgive me. Such a professional. Matt Tong?
Hello.
Hello, nice to have you.
Thank you.
Wonderful, thank you. Yeah, thank you for speaking to us.
Of course.
Brilliant to have you. As you can tell, I'm not a professional radio presenter, so I wasn't 100% sure whether you were on the line or what button I was pressing, but it's great to have you in the studio now.
It's all right, I'm barely a professional musician either.
Oh, aren't we, mate, aren't we all? yeah, amazing to have you. I love the new tracks, they're really, really great.
Thank you.
I think that, I wanted to have Algiers on the show because I think you guys are one of the more important bands operating right now. I think you're one of the more interesting and the new stuff really has surpassed my expectations. I think it's really wonderful for what I've heard.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, you know, we've been locked away working on it for so long. It's good to finally get a bit of feedback.
God, so yeah, of course, it must be quite early days for that kind of thing. Are you able to,
even
like,
if it was negative feedback, you know, like any opinion would be gladly welcomed.
Just say something, right? Just say something. Yeah, but it's I know exactly how you feel with that. It's like, because you kind of, you make this stuff and then you put it out and it just like, is it happening yet? Is it happening yet? Is it happening yet? You know, it's a very nervous time, but rest assured, it is really interesting, like really good. I remember getting into you guys on the self-titled and then it continuing from there, and like, obviously Underside of Power is really good, and yeah, this one promises great things, if I may. Can we talk about the album artwork? I know it's a radio, but the album artwork is insane.
Yeah. That was a collaboration between Arcturus Lee and a close friend of the band, mm-hmm. Called Farbod, who runs an Atlanta-based label called Geographic North, and he is also Farbod is a graphic designer, mm-hmm. By trade. So I think this time around we had a lot more time between the actual completion of the record and releasing it and sure. the subsequent promotional material. So I think Lee really wanted to kind of work on something that had a very distinctive identity, visually. There was a lot of going back and forth, and as far as I can tell, lots of minute adjustments of the typeface and
and especially when you're working in a band, like there's kind of it's not as easy to get a two-way conversation going, is there? There's always a kind of you have to agree on it first and then go back and all that kind of stuff,
right? But particularly as we try and operate as a collective, that also makes it harder than someone just saying, hey, it's going to be this way, so you can't argue with that.
Yeah, because I am the artist. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot's been made of your guys' kind of like genre mixing, and you guys have indeed have satirized it quite effectively in a track I'm about to play. But it is. I'm very interested in stuff that like doesn't do the narrative, because you guys are very politically engaged. You're very kind of your music is very much about the world at large, but it doesn't feel like it feels like you're kind of. You're skewering people who kind of feel like they're in charge of the narrative, or that they are indeed the woke ones, or anything like that. There's a sense in which you're kind of like disrupting things slightly and shaking people's trees.
I think we're, I'm not going to try and speak for everyone.
No, of course, no, sorry.
I think at this stage in the game, I think we're all coming at it from slightly different points. But of course, sure. We've always maintained that everything. Everything you encounter or during your day-to-day life has some kind of political connotation, which it's draining to think about that 100% of the time, but I think also haven't tried to shy away from it. So yeah, it does kind of come to the surface a lot in the music and for interviews as well. But I think this time around, I think Frank was kind of, I think he kind of wanted to explore more. He did most of the lyric writing.
Sure.
And I think he just really wanted to kind of dig more into the kind of personal, how things were impacting him personally.
I see, yeah.
And even then, not really talking about that too explicitly, I think he kind of wanted to kind of incorporate more of a kind of puzzle-solving aspect to his lyricism this time around as well.
That makes sense.
I think his approach isn't to really... I think he's kind of stated to me, at least, that his approach isn't going to be to kind of address too much of what he's written about in this record directly this time around through, interviews and whatnot. I think he wants to give the audience, whoever listens to us, the opportunity to decode, some of what's going on, really, in the songwriting.
God, that shouldn't be an unusual idea, should it? That shouldn't be a quaint idea, but, that's what you had to do.
No, of course not.
No one was shouting about their own lyrics on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? It was here's the thing, try and think about what it means, rather than have a snappy headline that like Coca-Cola can use. You know what I mean? It's
right, but you know, it's the music business, and no one, you can try and push up against it, but you know, if you want to kind of make a living, you know, and try and like, you know, perform in front of what's hopefully a growing fan base, you have to kind of give yourself to the, you know, some of the demands of the, you know, the media that reports or, you know, talks about your band. Like, you know, music journalists are really up against it at this point. It's like, it's
true,
I don't envy anyone who is trying to make a living from writing. So I personally don't begrudge anyone for kind of, I think at this point, just to kind of accuse someone of lazy journalism is sort of missing the point a bit, because it's like, you only have X amount of time in the day to write about like so many different bands or artists, you know, and there are so many people like doing this at the moment.
I do go along with that. I'm the worst at skewering journalists for that as well, but I do agree that like people want quick headlines, people want things to be simple and compact and contained in meaning, do you know what I mean? And I think one of the things I love about your band is it's a bit more than that, do you know what I mean? It's
right,
it's wonderful. I should mention that you have a new record coming out, There Is No Year, which of in January, which of course I'm going to play some of in a little while, but yeah, and you've got a tour that would kill a lesser band. Good Lord, you're beginning in February, carrying on all the way through March, all the way through UK, Europe, North America. It looks brutal. I mean, I'm sure it'd be fun, but good God.
Yeah.
Or am I weak? I know you guys. You know, if you've kind of like spent time in America, that's a different level of touring to what I'm used to in the UK. But it seems like a hell of a tour.
We are pretty tired. We've been grinding them out, you know, over the last few years, and we're not getting any younger. That's for sure. But
sure.
You know, I have a theory. I died about 7 years ago. The 5-hour energy has just kept my body animated. The historical consumption of 5-hour energy. You get used to it after a while, because, you know, like, as you know, like through touring, like you stop forgetting about your responsibilities at home.
And yeah, you do.
Yeah, and your world becomes that much smaller, you know, and so you're not necessarily taken up with thinking about, you know, the day, there's cockroaches in the fridge, or like, you know, I've got to do the washing up. It's like, I just have to get out of bed and maybe make sure I don't smell so bad, so the van's not an unpleasant environment, and then just get in the van and like close my eyes for another few hours, and then get to the venue.
Yeah,
and like hopefully not put my back out carrying some guitar amps, you know, right
there. Yeah, do the show, and then that's my responsibility done.
That's it. You've just got to look after yourself and make sure you're physically capable of doing the show that people have paid to, you know, see you do.
Yeah, quite, yeah. well, listen, I'm into that. Matt Tong from Algiers, everybody. I'm going to play a track of yours. Thank you very much for speaking to me. I really appreciate it, and I love you.
No worries. I mean, thanks for having me on the show.
My total pleasure. This is Can the Sub Bass Speak by Algiers.
Niggas don't know how to act. What is this? This ain't hip hop. This ain't punk rock. You ain't punk rock. You ain't hip hop. What is this? What style of music do you play? What kind of music do you play? What do you call your music? What genre is this? How do you mix all these genres together? Why do you mix all these genres together? How do you do it? Yeah, I see. It's kind of like gospel punk, soul punk, soul rock, doom soul. What is this fusion? It's more like confusion. I like the punk, I don't like the soul. I like the soul, I don't really like the punk. It's soulful, but why do you have to make it ugly? You don't even know what your sound is. Nigga, you don't know how to act. Oh, these niggas don't know how to act. Where are you from? Nah, where are you really from? No, where are you really from in Africa? Yeah, you look like your ancestors might have come from Mali. You know, I spent a summer there once. Yeah, you look like them. That's not your real voice, is it? Is that your real voice? Why do you talk like that? You don't really dress like that, do you? Nah, you don't really talk like a black guy. I mean, you're black, but you ain't really black. You don't really act black, nigga. You're more Negro than a nigga. Yeah, you're pretty cool for a nigga, but you ain't really a nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know that Chris Rock sketch where he says that there's a difference between black people and niggas? Yeah, why can't I say it? Why are you allowed to say it, but we can't say it? Fuck you, nigga. You don't really know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't really know how to act. How does it feel to be a black man making white music? A middle-aged black man observing young white people shout the N-word to rap songs. A 35-year-old black man observing young white people shout the N-word to rap songs. The bombastic, but to the point of kitsch, even though the issues at hand are a matter of life and death. Never mentioning the name of victims of racially motivated violence. The effect is weirdly impersonal, so over the top, it's political melodrama. Fuck your experience, nigga. You ain't from the hood. You ain't got gold in your mouth. Nigga, you ain't ever been in jail. You're too old and too inauthentic. Fuck young, gifted, and black, nigga. You don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't know how to act. I love what you do, but I wish you would just get off of the identity politics and start talking about structural politics. You know who you remind me of? You remind me of TV on the radio. You remind me of Fishbone. You remind me of Gary Clark Jr. You remind me of Bad Brains. You remind me of Living Color. You remind me of Lenny Kravitz. You know who you look like? You look like Lawrence Fishburne. You look like Usher. You look like Forrest Whitaker. You look like Paul George. You look like Denzel Washington. You look like that cat from 24. What? I'm just trying to be nice. Fuck you, nigga. All you niggas don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't know how to act. Oh, you know, I love black girls. I fucked a black girl once, you know. I got black friends, too. You know, one of my best friends was a nigga when I was growing up. He used to play basketball together, and he could jump and run so fast because he had extra muscle. Did you know that? Y'all got an extra muscle in your leg. You got it from when he was running from the slave masters. Oh, but you niggas still don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't know how to act. You know what black music is, right? Yeah, I love old school hip hop. Does it bother you when white people dance to your music at shows? Did you used to be a preacher? Oh, you're from Atlanta. I love trap music. That's the home of trap music. You know what that is, right? Oh, but you know Bob Dylan created rap. Oh, you know CeeLo Green? Oh, yo, you niggas don't know how to act. I love Supreme. That got 10 out of 10. You know, Michael Jackson still a got best new nigga, but y'all still don't know how to act. Oh, you niggas don't really know how to act. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They gave him drink and take away the water. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They tattoo his face with queen obscenities. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They hack off his tongue ceremoniously with all institutional pomp and circumstance. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They tie him to be quartered to the four major pillars of validation. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. They decorate him in gold. Get back to where you once belonged, they sing. Exhausted in the briars, he sighs a resigned contortion. They seize it at birth and bottle it for voyeuristic observation and anthropological instruction. They put it on display in natural history museums, pornographic textbooks, designer drag window displays, conspiracy websites. Dance like a monkey, chatter like an ape. Put on the jacket and the full face, everyone will apply. They clinger on this way until he hits the ground. Then they finally give the thumbs down.
Can the Sub Bass Speak by Algiers? If you don't feel implicated by that, you're not listening hard enough. Wonderful track, wonderful band. Album coming out in January. Check it out. One Tree Pairing Takeover.
Indeed.
Tom's here. Josh is here.
Almost the end.
I'd like to shout out Pete Flinton. He's not here, but he's in our hearts.
Yeah, I'd like to shout out Peter Flinton. Peter Flinton is our tour manager and sound engineer, but he's a sound engineer first, but the way it is these days, you basically can't just be a sound engineer.
You just got to do everything. Yeah. You've just got to drive. You've got to deal with advances and various other things. Deal with my dangerous personality.
Uncle Pub in the back of the car, yep, after the show.
Absolutely. Sit me in the back, give me a bottle of wine, listen to my cares.
I mean, I wish I had, after tour, this thing, I would love to have Pete Flinton, life manager, just because you forget how to live. You know, as we were talking about, you've got to live when you're on tour, and you come off and you just need someone to be like, yeah. So what you do is you put one foot out of the bed first and then the other, then you get up and then you just go about your day. And
yeah, and you don't need money to pay for things. They're not just provided to you.
Yeah.
And if you're going somewhere, you need to organise that for yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to tell you where to be between the hours of 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. because you're probably going to be on your own at home on the couch. So
yeah, I mean, not doing anything of worth.
Yeah, I can't tell you what to watch on a TV tonight.
it's been fun. I mean, this has been a joy. This has been fun being at FUBAR Radio. Thank you very much for having me. I hope it hasn't been too much of a chore for your ears. It's certainly not been a chore for mine. I'd like to thank all my guests. I'd like to thank Richard Dawson, Ellie Moore, Sam Lee, Cash Carraway, and Matt Tong. I mean, it's been a bloody pleasure.
It has. It's been bloody lovely.
It has been bloody lovely. Honestly, the amount of places Two Weird Northerners can get. You know what I mean? You just stick your foot
it's
in the
no
door.
There's no stopping us.
No, we're like the smooze. You know what I mean? We just get in the cracks.
It's because we're so friendly and people want to buy things from us. So they trust us.
If anyone needs someone to sell their insurance or their soft drinks or perhaps their Christmas sale.
Well, we tried to sell a book, a record, and a tour today. So I think we've done.
We're doing our best. I mean, I was actually in to do a vocal for a Christmas advert. I didn't get it. Probably because I sound like I'm about to rip your head off at any point. But I haven't exactly got the most romantic of voices. It's like a kind of a very pissed off Leonard Cohen. But, but yeah, for some reason, they don't want me advertising Christmas goods. Why is that, Josh? I don't know. Is it because I don't believe in the Christian sanctity of Christmas? I don't know.
It could be that. Did you explain that your dad played the pipe organ in the church?
No, I didn't get a chance to before I was kicked out of the advertising office. I should have done. I mean, I don't mind Christmas. I'm just being.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's too easy just to be like, I hate Christmas because it's really commercial. Because actually, especially if not for me this year, but especially if you're away from where your birthplace, perhaps, or where you grew up, you get to go back there at Christmas, and usually people are around, and it is a joyous occasion.
It can be a joyous occasion, yeah.
It's usually a messy occasion as well. Definitely.
No one in this room drinks alcohol, of course.
No, of course not. No, just really strong coffee. No.
It's been a pleasure. I think our time is sadly drawing to a close, but it's been a One True Pairing takeover on FUBAR Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure to play for you all, to be here, to just be a conduit for my wonderful guests. And I'm now going to leave you with the wonderful Cocteau Twins. Please enjoy. Have a good evening. One True Pairing.
Tuesday Takeover with One True Pairing on FUBAR Radio.
You've been listening to The Tuesday Takeover. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.
Michael Payne and Marcel Somerville on FUBAR Radio.
Smoke It Out by Tensai and A-Dad. FUBAR Radio. Yeah. Michael, Natalie and Marcel, the Eminem Show, 4 till 6. Shout out Joey for the last 2 hours.
Smashed it.
You might have heard me on the tail end of that show as well. My headphones are like playing up right now. So
we have this at the start of the show every week now, don't we?
My phone's on.
It strikes at an opportune moment. We're all wearing really fetching tops. None of us are really Christmassy apart from Natalie. I guess it's the kind of ish, yeah, alternative kind of blue rather than red.
It's woolly though. So.
Yeah, it is wool. Yeah.
What have you got?
But she's gone for the sort of Terminator. Christmas.
Oh, Terminator, the Christmas.
Christmas.
Film. Christmas. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Natalie's representing.
And you've got the Bee Gees with Night Fever, which
I do
is great.
Have
That's
the Bee Gees
top.
In a very kind of brotherly.
Yeah. It's the pose.
The pose is amazing.
It's the pose.
The smiles.
I
as
feel
well.
Like this is the pose that we should do for every picture with our guests.
Yeah.
Honestly,
today.
Yeah. Looks
today,
super
let's
happy.
Do all that today. Yeah, yeah. That's a great pose. Who will be in the middle?
The guest,
it'd have
obviously.
To be me so they can see the T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
good
true.
Point, good point.
That's true.
You can see the reference.
Fair, fair.
Really fixating on the teeth. Very white.
Massachusetts. Lot,
yeah. I feel like I want to be Robin.
That's the guy on the right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or left. I don't know.
Yeah. That's me.
As long as you're a BG. As long as you get to BG.
I'm a G.
Yeah, exactly. So no matter where you stand.
I can definitely BG.
Provided it's on the left or right.
For real.
We got a packed show coming up for you today. Really is packed, actually. And not only have we got Drapes the Pro coming up, not only have we got Seven coming up, that's one artist, by the way, called Seven. Not only have we got K the Infinite coming up, that's one artist, not yep. infinite artists. We also have the female all-stars coming up.
Which are six.
That's six members: Miz, Lady Shocker, Shay, Nai Nai, Nahanda, and Frankie Stay Woke.
We may be down one member, Lady Shocker, but she's going to try and come in, but we're not sure. But still, you know, it's still five.
That's
this
it.
Is the Nat thing.
Can make up the other.
Okay,
she's
the
a female all star, obviously.
Yeah, I am. I'm in reserve.
There you
I'm
go.
The lucky number seven.
Oh my God, it's all tying together.
It really is. It
it's
really
all
is.
Tying together.
So that's what we got coming up. We got a couple of games to boot.
Of course.
We might have some chitter chatter.
We've got some chitter chatter. Let's chitter chatter about you, Michael Payne, saying goodbye to Nike Lab 1948.
Yeah, I went to the party. They had a send off after 11 years on Bateman's Row in Shoreditch. Nike said goodbye to their premises.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time and money in that place. But. Most importantly, time, because, you know, they've always had their finger on the pulse when it comes to not only sportswear, but just culture in the surrounding area. I went to, like, there was a brand cassette player sort of in the sort of late noughties that were doing big things with not only fashion, but grime in those sort of stages, you know. Cassie used to put JME on the catwalk. Who else? Temper T walked for her. I'm sure Skepta walked for her as well. So back then, she was doing these kind of super progressive things with grime artists, and Nike kind of hosted her fashion show at 1948. That's just one example of the sort of things they did. Held like streetwear fairs there so people could connect. And this is in the early stages of Trapstar before they went on to things with. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so this is early days,
big.
You know?
That's
so,
big.
Yeah, like I said, that place will be missed. Not
That's
only
mad
because,
that it's gone though. What, are they moving?
No, I think the lease ran out and they just wanted it to be something that was
idolized, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly. Who knows? Maybe they were just kind of like, you know, the overheads are just taking the piss. It could have been something as
true,
you know, trivial as that, but
still.
Okay. Well, moving over to you, Marcel. You put something out on your social media. So in the past week, I've had offers of £4 signs here.
£4
to put myself back into some drama that I'm so over.
So over.
And I turn it down because no amount of money is worth hashtag negative energy coming my way.
That's it.
What's going on?
And it wasn't, can we just clear something up there? It wasn't £4.
No, it wasn't
£4.
No,
it wasn't £4.
It was £4.
It was a lot of money being put by the signs.
Right. It's nearly £5. That's almost a note.
Should have gone for the five, to be fair.
You need a note. So what is this? Winter Love Island?
No. So basically, I'm not going too deep into it, but a certain journalism thing asked me to talk about an ex relationship and the dramas that's going on between her and her recent ex, and wanted me to get back into the story about
you two
back in the day
right.
when
wow.
when I said something about that that's been rehashed now. So I was like,
oh, I see.
Not getting into it. don't matter how much you want to pay me, I don't want to, like, I've moved on and I've got a new girl and I'm happy, I'm doing my thing. I'm not going to just jump back into that drama just because you're going to throw me some money. It's like, okay. It's long.
I think it's been rehashed because the exes... newer ex is in the jungle at the moment on I'm a Celebrity.
Oh.
And he's reiterated something that I said when we first broke up, and they're making it into... They wanted me to like go back and like say what I said again.
Oh, right, so that people can notice a pattern or something.
Right, because I think what happened was is that the ex has, whilst her more recent ex is in the jungle... has released some kind of screenshots of people, I don't know whether it's on Instagram or text or whatever, of talking about alleged infidelities. And I think that he's in the jungle, so obviously he can't really, doesn't know about it or can't have a right to reply, which is, I'm assuming, why journalists are coming towards you.
But what it is I said something when me and her broke up, and then he said what I said on the show.
Ah.
And the person who apparently was doing the thing with, their partner is on the show with him, so he said it to that person. Right. So they wanted me to re-talk about it, and I was like, don't want to do it. So, yeah.
Fair play.
Good
I respect
for,
it.
Good for you for turning down that £4. I'm proud of you.
The £4, like
that would have been a portion of chips.
You know.
You never know when you're going to need
a... Last portion, I reckon.
Surprise portion of chips.
It would have been quite a few portions of chips for the near future. But the thing with it is, like, it doesn't matter how much money someone might be giving you. You don't need to, like it's better to, like, have good energy around you rather than have, like, proper, like, just inviting someone to come and, like, bring some bad energy to your doorstep. So, yeah, man, just stay away from it.
So this is why you've been posting lots of positive Instagram posts.
Exactly.
Trying to repel.
Repelling,
the bad energy.
You know what? We're going into 2020, innit? Exactly. Like, no one wants to be bringing, like, negative energy into the new year, innit? Like, so...
Well,
distance yourself.
Talking of is this negative? I don't know. The Arsenal manager has been fired.
He has.
Thoughts, please.
He's been sacked. Unai Emery is no longer at the helm of Arsenal Football Club.
Do you know what? To start, right, I was very, very much for the sacking of Unai Emery. I was very much for it, but I did feel bad for the guy because he looked like the game, like the press conference he done before the game when he like the game he lost and got sacked.
Mm.
He looked like he knew he was getting sacked.
Yeah, he looked stressed out for a little while.
Yeah, so
So I think it might have been like a mercy.
Yeah, a mercy killing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, honestly.
But the thing of it is, like, obviously, like, he's going into Christmas, he's lost his job, blah, 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 but he has been paid off.
That's the thing.
Nice
sum. That's the thing. That's why going into Christmas is the operative
phrase.
He's like,
I'm calm, you know what I'm saying?
Financially, he's blessed. He'll go to another club. It'll be millions.
Yeah, it's going
to
be millions. It's going to be millions.
That's like a nice sacking.
Yeah,
because when you generally
football sackings are the best.
Yeah. They are the best.
Yeah, because when you get sacked normally, you don't even get a box of chocolates or something. Mm. You definitely don't get a few £1 million
on
your way out.
Get a cardboard box, put your stuff in it.
That's it.
And escort it out the building.
It's true. In some companies, you probably have to buy your own cardboard box.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you know,
they courier it to your house. That's what they do.
Take it out of your wages.
Don't worry, you haven't got to pack anything. Just we'll courier it to you. Know what I mean?
God, that would be a really harsh way if you came into work and you're like, where is everything on my desk?
Speaking of harsh things, apparently Unai Emery only found out about his sacking after a training session. A morning training session.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I think I heard about that.
That's a sad way to go.
Do you know what though? Like, it's for the best. Freddie Lomberg's in that. In there now, like Freddie, he's an Arsenal legend. Obviously, like he's gonna have the fans behind him just because he's Lomberg.
Is that enough though?
No, but the thing with it is, like, he's not, like, he knows to himself, because I've been watching his press conferences, and he knows to himself this might not be for the long haul. So I'm just gonna do my thing, go game by game. If I win, I'll win. If I lose, I lose. But the fans aren't gonna turn on him because they know that
it's a tempting.
Yeah, it's a temporary thing, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, by that time I did Christmas Tempt as the Arsenal manager.
That's legendary stuff.
That
there,
is
mate.
Legendary stuff.
I've heard of Freddie Lomberg.
Best I ever got was Royal Mail.
Yeah, he used to do underwear modelling.
He did.
Underwear modelling, I remember
He was a pin-up.
Mm.
Yeah. He definitely was in his heyday. Freddie was a pin-up, both for women. He was a massive gay icon as well.
Is he the manager now, then?
He's the manager of Arsenal.
He's interim manager, yeah.
Will Unai, if you get fired very publicly... As a manager, will no other team go, well, I don't want you, obviously?
No, not at all. Managers have been fired left, right and centre and gone to other clubs. Don't get me wrong. Some of the best managers of all time have been fired.
That's it. But I think Unai Emery is going to find it very hard to find another high-level club that will take him on. I feel like he would be more Everton.
Right. Everton. Are we talking just Premier League specifically?
No, I feel like he's going to leave the Premier League because I don't think he'd want to really stick around in it. I think he'd go back to Spain.
He could go to Watford.
He could go to Watford.
It's only up the road.
Yeah.
The training thing is right next door to Arsenal. So.
Yeah. He could fully go to Watford. They ain't even got to relocate.
Okay. Well, good luck. Good luck to Unai. I want to mention.
Good luck to Unai and all his future endeavours.
I went to my first Christmas party last Thursday. So shout out to Live Nation. They had their Christmas drinks.
Big Live Nation.
Started at 4 p.m. the traditional time for a party to start.
What time did it end?
I don't remember. Wow. No, I'm joking. I left there a reasonable time.
The sesh, the Live Nation sesh, Christmas sesh.
I only left there this morning.
To come in, she's getting back after.
I'm going straight back. There was, it was in the Ticketmaster building.
Where's the Ticketmaster building?
In King's Cross.
Right.
Just on the same road, can't remember the road, Nick, on the Lexington's on.
Right.
And there was optional.
Great Portland. No, sorry, Pentonville.
Yeah, Pentonville Road, that's it. And there was an optional, thank God it was optional, of a way into it by a slide, a very big slide.
What? You didn't do it?
No, the guy was like, we have a slide. I went, he went stairs. Yeah. No one took the
slide. Would you get bare static, though?
No one took the slide.
No one took the slide.
That's mad. I would take the slide.
Only black people took the slide. Because their hair won't get that same static.
I would have been, my hair would have been out here. Would have been looking like, so. But no, because the slide was going into the middle of the party. So it would have been like, no one did that.
That would have been so good.
I would fully slide into
the
shield.
Of course, man. Of course. Mad. Slide off it and then slide into the thing, innit?
On my belly.
Just strike a pose at the end, like, what?
But that's my fear is, what if I didn't and I just fell off, or like a shoe fell
or some
off?
Or some idiot was standing at the end of the slide.
And you just hit them.
So how big was the slide, though?
It's big. I'll show you a picture of it in a minute. But like, it was a big, long slide.
So you could get some speed up by the time you...
I think so, yeah.
I would have definitely loved to do that.
Would you seriously have gone down the slide?
Yeah.
Where was our invite?
Yeah, good point, actually. I could have done, because the person I went, we left not that late. And...
I mean beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just like, come this.
I went with Julia from here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Did Julia get on the slide?
Hell no, did she get on the slide. Are you joking? She was making up all kinds of medical conditions she might have to avoid the slice. She said everything. And then I took her into a local pub. She doesn't really do pubs.
Yeah.
On the way back, you know when you're like, I have to go to the loo? Like, mm-hmm. We walked quite a long way. And of all the pubs we walked, we went into one. It's a very local pub, if you know what I mean. It has the smell of, she said, well, her exact words were, it smells of piss in here. For me, it had the smell of lock-in, as in that stale cigarette kind of smell. You're like, they have lock-ins in here.
People still smoking it, for real.
Yeah. A lot of dogs there. Very cheap wine, I have to say, but it could have been vinegar. I can't be sure which one it was. It was fine, because you have to buy something to use it. And then we went out to the garden. I've never seen a garden like this in my life. Pitch black. And we're like, bodies are buried here. Like,
wow.
People have been in this garden. I think there's a bench over there, but I'd like to go and sit outside in pitch black.
Yeah, no, that's long.
In King's
was a strange
Cross.
Pub, but you know what? It was very cheap, so I feel like we'll move our Christmas drinks to that.
Really?
No, I keep...
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea. So, but shout out. It was a good party from Live Nation.
And they tried to deliberately
do it so that they want to be the first one of the year.
Okay.
So they did it. But next year, I'll tell
someone's
you.
Someone's definitely beat them.
Do you think?
Just have it on January 1st.
Yeah, true.
January, that's a good idea.
Best way to beat them.
Okay. Well, let's get into a quick song, and then hopefully our next guest will arrive. First guest.
I could always
Wow. That was You and I by Caribou. Brand new one, that
the
one.
The ending of that song was amazing. I love that
transition. Mm. You didn't even realise it happened until the end. You were like, wait, am I listening to a different fucking song?
Yeah.
Then again, we were having a very riveting conversation about our next story.
Yes.
So that's probably the reason I didn't notice the transition.
But Dan Snaith's done it again, let's just say. He's pulled it out of the bag again.
He has.
And their new album suddenly is coming out early next year.
You're hoping to see him at some more festivals this summer?
All Points East, 100%. They're confirmed for that. And so I would like to be there very much.
I just saw that Kraftwerk are headlining somewhere, but I can't remember what festival
it is. I think that was All Points East as well,
amazing.
Actually.
I think I'm definitely going to All Points East this year.
Always a good lineup.
They really do have a good lineup.
Anyway.
Mm. So this is a really good story. I like this. It's for all you quite religious people out there. A church accidentally built a giant baby Jesus statue that resembled Phil Collins. In one of the strangest chapters in the book of Genesis, a Mexican church.
Yeah, but they're saying they're Genesis because he was in Genesis. It's like a double little play there.
Yeah, I realized it. I was reading too fast. Yeah. Love that. In one of the strangest chapters in the book of Genesis, you're right, a Mexican church has built an enormous statue of the baby Jesus that looks just like Phil Collins. The balding, mulleted sculpture was commissioned for the church La Epifania del Señor, and is 22 feet tall and weighs over 143 stone. Wow. The priest, Humberto Rodriguez, said he only wanted something that would fit the church. Mm. Apparently, he was taken aback by the size, saying he never intended it to be the biggest baby Jesus statue in the world. Which it is, right?
I mean, I think, put it this way, it's not fitting in that church. It's too big for the church.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So where is it here?
22 feet.
In the church, in the picture.
I don't think it is.
That's what I'm thinking. I think they got it in summer. They had to build the church around it.
They had to build a new church. Fill it first.
Created by the sculptor Roman Salvador, the statue stands a couple of feet taller than the tallest Tyrannosaurus Rex. I love the fact that that's what they've used to compare.
The scale.
As if we've ever met a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
No, but
so
they
we'd
look
be
big.
Able to get the reference.
They look bigger than this room, right? T-Rex?
Yeah, I thought T-Rexes were massive.